This is 89.3 Huntsville. You're tuned in to Arts Underground. Today, our guest is a local comedian who will make you laugh until you cry. That's Ty Funny. Hey, Ty.
Hey.
Hey.
It's me.
It's good to have you here, Ty.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be wanted. I feel amazing. Do you feel amazing, everybody?
Oh, you didn't ask me. You asked everybody.
Are you feeling amazing?
I feel okay. Yeah, I'm glad to have you here.
All right. I'm glad to be here. I'm wanted. I feel famous already.
So we're going to get first things first. Talk about how you got started in comedy. What interested you in pursuing it?
2015, I met a guy in Wisconsin, which that's where I'm originally from. He was like, hey, man, I can do comedy. Y'all gonna come to my comedy show? And I'm like, oh, that's nice. That's cool. And fast forward that story, 2017, I moved to Alabama and got here and they was building Stand Up Live. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. They're building a comedy club. One of the guys I work with, he was like, hey, we should start doing stand up. And I'm like, no. That's stupid. People don't laugh. He's like, you funny. I'm like, nah, that's not for me. 2018, a lot of weird stuff happened in my life. And then I found myself doing stand-up. I went to Stand Up Live. Was supposed to be there for Dusty Slay. And it was a free show. Just went just to check it out. And believe it or not, I saw the first comic go up and I'm like, hey, I can do that. And then I did. So that's how I got here.
So that's your first gig story.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite gig story?
My favorite? Okay, so, okay, when I first started doing stand-up comedy, it was a guy that came to one of the shows, and that night I wasn't as funny as I used. Well, it was just starting, so it was just like learning the pace and the environment, and I was sticking to the script, but we had a guy in there that just literally walked across the stage. He walked right past me and said, hey, you ain't funny, and then I ripped into him. Yeah, it's a video on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and watch it.
It went viral?
It didn't go viral. I wish it would. Please go make it go viral. I need views on that video.
And you go out to open mics, too, to sort of hone your set. And
yes.
I want to know how that helps you.
Oh, man.
Talk
so
about that.
So being a comedian, just like being anything, if you were a basketball player, you go to the gym and you shoot around. You practice your shot. You practice everything. Same thing with comedians. You go to open mics. Here in Huntsville, Alabama, we have an open mic on Sunday at Madison Station. We have an open mic on Monday at Maggie Myers, and on Tuesday at the Saltina Brewery. And you just go there and you practice the stuff you wrote. You work on your crowd work, everything that you want to add to your arsenal. And stay consistent. Don't just go one time out of the week. You got to be consistent if you really want to get good at stand-up comedy.
So you and I were talking the other day on the phone about how you like to read up on stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And can you talk about some of your favorite authors and what you've learned reading that?
Judy Carter has one of the greatest books, and Tools of Comics, that's one of the books. And then How to Be Funny, that's another book. And then it's another one, I can't think of the name. Mastering Stand-Up, that's another good book. These are like just techniques of writing and also just learning, understanding what you're doing and what your persona is. What are you doing on stage to master and to captivate people? And also just certain techniques to write and how to word and play and all that stuff.
And then over time, being on the road, going to all these gigs, you just went to Indiana.
Yes, I did.
What's one piece of advice or piece of knowledge that you've picked up from maybe another comedian that you've taken with you?
I've been told not to cuss so much. Yeah, that's a good one. Me personally, I feel like being honest on stage is the truth and a technique that you have to have. You have to be okay with loving yourself to be able to convey that to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like for instance, my style of comedy, it's more like the embarrassing moments, the no moments, the oh no moments, taking advantage of that opportunity and just turning it like stuff that I used to cry about, taking that and turning that into laughter is like, I feel like I'm getting my power back.
If anybody goes out to your shows, you will see that. You've grown exponentially over the time I've seen you perform, so.
And I've had a lot of help on the way, though. Scott Easton, Matthew Tate, Ian Hayes, Kimberly Wilson with Shenanigans, Jesse Paula. These are all the people that have really looked out for me and gave me opportunities. And everybody else around. Josh, he in Indiana. And Bubba Q, he helping me out, too. It's just a lot of folks. Raina Cahill, everybody. Carl Paul. I love all you guys. These guys are growing. And I have to grow as well, and I just appreciate them pushing me and giving me knowledge and information and opportunities.
And let's kind of delve into that a little bit, the booking process.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you have to establish your self-worth as a comedian.
Yes.
How do you go about doing that?
I started doing stand-up in 2018. Mm-hmm. Within 3 months, I had a 5-minute set. I put in the work, though. Nice. I would go to Maggie Myers on Monday, mm-hmm. and then on Wednesdays, I would go to Copper Top. So it would be Monday, Wednesday, every week. And I just wrote and studied, and then I got to a point where I actually had 10 minutes of material, but all I needed was 5 minutes. And mm-hmm. Matthew Tate, he was doing a show. He was like, hey, would you mind being on the show? And I'm like, oh, it's that time. I guess I did a good job. And it gave an opportunity, and then they was like, okay, we'll be here on this date. And basically, they just get in contact with you. A lot of the open mic, they do shows, too, that you get paid gigs, and they're opportunities that meet other comedians from other cities and other states, and you get to know them, and then you just exchange information. If you got a show, see if you can reach out to them, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Just get to know. It's a lovely community down here in Huntsville, Alabama, when it comes to comedians. We all look out for each other to our best abilities. My first time I did a show, I got $5 and I cried because I was happy. And it's not like because it was $5. It's like because this is my content. I got to be myself and get paid for it. Some jobs don't allow you to do that. And this mm-hmm. This is one of those opportunities and jobs that you get to be yourself. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And I would tell everybody, go get on stage, man. Just go have fun. Just go be free. I feel as a freedom. People get scared and shaken and all that, but don't be scared.
When the pandemic hit, that kind of dried up some gigs.
Well, yeah, right? Somewhat. But I could give a shout out to Shenanigans for letting us do online comedy shows. It was an online competition.
How did that go?
It was very strange. You only heard one laugh. That was Kimberly Wilson. But I felt like it was funny. And then you get to, eventually, when it gets aired or on, if it's live, you get to see the laugh out louds on the screen. So it's a little bit different. You got to get used to it. But I was just having a good time and being myself. That's all you can do.
So you just had to adjust.
You just got to adjust. Mm-hmm. That's it. You got to take in and run with it. And then it'll give you more time to do, like, build more content, like to do skits and, like, side-by-sides talking about a video or a certain situation and giving your honest opinion and making it funny, too, not just being a booty face.
You've already talked about this, but you are pretty much a staple with Shenanigans Comedy Theater.
Yes.
And another conversation that we had, we talked about how improv is a way that you can build trust with these other comedians.
Yes.
So can you talk about what it means to have that full trust and how you get to build that?
Okay. So improv, it's taking nothing or a little bit of something and turning it into a big thing. And that's one thing with comedy is we exaggerate everything. Most of us do. Some of us tell it like it is. But I like to exaggerate just a little bit just to make the stakes a little more higher. You know, like Fast and the Furious. That car was really out of gas, but we don't know that. You know?
Yeah.
But we can see it like, oh, he might not make it to the gas station. You know, Fast Furious 7, you seen that? Okay, never mind.
No, I haven't.
It was a joke. They didn't have a gas problem in that movie. But it's like, all their cars got gas. Okay, so improv. Taking something and running with it. I got to give a shout out to Kimberly Wilson and everybody at Shenanigans. I thank you guys so much for opportunities. I got to join them in 2018-19, and they gave me an opportunity to, you know, learn from them and honestly learn how to play. And it's like the stuff that little kids do when you use your imagination. You take in whatever the audience may give you or whatever word, you just got to turn that into something. And you have to really read a person's body language to understand and words as well, like certain words. Isn't just learn how to play with people, but learn how to trust your other. The first time we did our show, I was scared because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be funny or not. I don't know what to expect. And then Kim literally pulled me to the side and said, it's okay to be nervous. You just have to learn to trust everybody. Okay. And that was one of the things that I had to literally learn how to do is trust everybody around you when you're on stage, because they're not going to lead you into a foul or bad
place. How long did that take?
A day. No, I wish it was like maybe probably like a few months. And once I got the hang of things, and mind you, I grew up watching Whose Line Is It Anyway? And Wayne Brady was one of my favorite characters. Just really energetic. It was always something new. It was like, even though it could have been the same rhythm from a song, it was just like something new. Every time he could play with anybody. We get so comfortable with sticking to the script. I would just say sometimes play a little bit. Think of some new stuff. Yell out another word that you would switch it up just a tad bit and see what you create.
And Ty, you said that Wayne Brady is somebody you looked up to growing up in comedy. And I wonder, who makes you laugh the most? It could be a comedian or somebody you know personally.
Who makes me laugh the most? Me? Yeah, it's just me.
Just you.
Yeah. I just be in my head at work sometimes and just be like, oh, that's funny.
And everybody looks at you like, what?
Man, he's crazy. That's the weird guy we don't want to work around because he smells. No, I don't smell. I took a shower today. But
it's just, I can confirm that.
I like 85 South Show. I'm a huge fan of Gabriel Iglesias. I want to say, who was it? Bernie Mac, R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Patrice O'Neal, R.I.P. Who else can I think of? This is one guy. I forgot his name. I just watched his video. He plays the piano. He does, like, simple stuff that is, like, intricate. He's a master pianist, but he also does, like, this thing where he takes the music and flips it upside down. He's playing it backwards. And it's just mind-boggling that he can play that and get these laughs at the same time. And all the comedians around Huntsville, just to see everybody working, getting better.
Do they inspire you to be better?
Oh, my God, you just don't know. Like, mm-hmm. just watching everybody grow and getting better. And one day, we're going to be a staple to not play around with. Because we're going to be like, forget L.A., it's all about Huntsville. Mm-hmm. Or New York, it's all about Huntsville.
So, you recently lost your dad.
Yes, I did.
And I want to know, as a comedian whose objective is to make everybody else laugh, mm-hmm. how do you get through that and continue to do what you do?
I am still working on that. And that's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked it. I'm an open book. Okay, so my dad, I called my dad on a Tuesday and didn't hear from him. That next day, Wednesday, I was told that he died. I broke down crying. Mm-hmm. You asked me who was the funniest person that made me laugh. It was him.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever will get over a death of a loved one, but I know one thing. I feel like talking about him while I'm on stage in a positive light or negative light, he gets it. He knows because that's how he raised us. He wanted us to be go-getters and to achieve everything we put our minds to. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing stand-up comedy or playing any instruments. Mm-hmm. So he's like, honestly, all I can tell anybody is just stay on the path.
Was he supportive of your comedy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote, you are hilarious, you are stupid, that's my boy. And I love that, like I missed it. I wish I could hear it again, but it's okay. He was astounded that I went for it.
Well, I think it's really cool that you can, you know, turn something so, you know, sad into something positive, something that you can take with you for the rest of your life.
So I'm crying about my dad. I was dating a girl at the time, and I had my head in her lap, and I'm just crying. Mm-hmm. Her dog hops in the bed. He looks at me, and he just, like, gives me the sad face. But then he does the unthinkable. I'm crying. I'm hurt. My dad dies. He walks across my face with his dog. Bob. He dragged his stuff over my face with my dad in tears. And I had to write that down. It's a joke. It's funny to me because I laughed. But I'm just saying, I don't know if a lot of people can deal with that. I laughed about it because I thought it was funny. Mm. But it was a very sad and intimate moment with a dog's bottom.
Comedy is a constant grind.
It is.
Where you have to just, like you said, take as many gigs as you can get, whether it's paid or not. And when you look toward the future, that's what I'm interested in, is to know, you know, when you're big and famous, what do you want life to look like when you get there?
4,000 wives. No, I'm kidding. Oh, God. I want to have a whole bunch of wives and 40 kids. No, I'm kidding. My dream is to do as many movies as I'm allowed to do. And I want to have at least like one or two sitcoms. Just, I love sitcoms. They're not the same like they used to be. And that's understandable. They don't last as long like they used to be. Because you can get laughter from the internet now. And that's fine. But I want to be able to just do a five-season show, you know, super spectacular, and it'd be hilarious, and everybody like, you watched that episode? Like, when I was a kid watching Martin or Will Smith or Family Matters, everybody talked about it at school. I want to have one of them shows where it's like, hey, did you see the episode of Ty Funny? That boy crazy. Why is he running around naked? I don't know. I want to do as many movies as possible, and I want to write some books. I want to just travel. That's what I really love to do is travel, seeing new people, meeting new people.
And especially now that the pandemic is sort of letting up a little bit. So I have three questions to end this with.
Yes, ma'am.
The first one is, do you, Ty Funny, have any hidden talents?
I play instruments, piano, drums. Before I was Ty Funny, I was Drummer Boy. And everybody in Wisconsin can vouch for that. Drumline came out in 2003 or 4, and I wanted to be Nick Cannon, so I was in a marching band for a long time. I wasn't the funny kid, and I was funny, but I wasn't the funny kid in high school. I play piano, I like to sing, I like to dance. I'm really terrible at video games. I'm bad.
So am I.
I try. My brother is like the Madden champion of all time, and I'm working on making him pay one day. I don't know. somebody teach me how to play Madden correctly, because he always beats me. I don't know what to do. But
for my second question, what is your favorite corny joke, like popsicle stick joke, that makes everybody just go, really? Like, big groan, you know?
Your mama's so fat, when she jump in the air, she gets stuck. That's a stupid joke. But it's funny, because I done got stuck in the air one time. I like your mama jokes. Dad jokes? Yeah. I ain't got none of that pop in my head right now.
Pop, hot. Sorry. Let's end with some gigs that are coming up here in the near future.
All right, let's talk about it. So you can follow me on Instagram at ty_funny0707, and you can get all the information you need. Or you can type in Traverest, that is T-R-A-V-E-A-R-E-S-T Young on Facebook, and you'll find me as well. Or type in Ty Funny on Facebook, and you'll find me. I'm doing shows everywhere and anywhere. And if you want me to come to your house or your bar mitzvah or your baby shower, I will be there, because I love to do comedy. And come out. Get out the house.
Well, Ty Funny, thank you for being here today on Arts Underground.
I'm famous. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm happy. That just made me feel good. Oh, I did this stuff on the radio. First time on the radio.
Yeah.
First time on the radio.